Well, we're coming to the end of our time with Christine Pohl's book, Living into Community, and looking at the four sustainable practices of Christian community. We're finally looking at the hopeful house built on the foundation of the three practices leading up to this moment, which were gratitude, promise-keeping, and truth-telling. Because as Pohl says, without the other three, the fourth cannot happen. Not authentically. Not as God would have us live it out. And that is the house of hospitality and welcome. In fact, the disciples of Christ noted symbol of faith as the red chalice with St. Andrew's cross embedded in it, representing the centrality of the Lord's Supper around the welcome table each week with God as the author of the guest list. There are countless table images in Scripture. It is the heart of community as presented in the Bible. The table set for God's children, all of them, all shapes and sizes and walks of life, from Puritan to politician. I've often likened it to the family reunion where for at least one day we sit together, welcoming all who enter the picnic shelter. You know, even your weird Uncle Phil, who is sure that the UFO abduction was real, and after spending time with the strange fellow, you start thinking maybe it did happen, as bizarre as he is. And yes, Grandma, I'd love to taste the green jello salad mixed with pimento cheese and maraschino cherries, because you did make it for us, though we're pretty sure we never have said we liked it. And you even go as far as splitting your first and the last homemade yeast roll with the cousin who has already eaten three. Because it is a reunion where you put aside your differences. Because at the welcome table, we find unity not in our race, preferences, political or sexual, not even the neighborhood or the university we attended. Because you see, our unity is to be found solely in Christ the Savior, sent to save, not judge us. Jesus was and is the living invitation to the table. Now today is the first of three installments on welcome, and I have a lot that I want to say about it. And I'm going to get there eventually with inspiration from Scripture and Pohl's book. But I wanted to start our time of reflection today sharing one of the best stories I've heard in describing compassionate hospitality. It's not my story, but the story of Tony Campolo, a much respected man of God, an enthusiastic speaker, professor of sociology, and is about as authentic as they come. I was pleased to actually get to meet him at a conference several years ago, to not only hear him preach and teach, but to have a conversation following a mighty presentation. Now, if you have heard this story, settle in again. It is worth hearing again. If you haven't, children, Mama's got something to read to you that will challenge your heart, soul, and mind. Now, the setting is hours after a conference, I believe, in Hawaii. Tony Campolo was looking for a cup of coffee. Just something to bide the time. So the following are his words. Up a side street, I found a little place that was still open. I went in, took a seat on one of the stools of the counter, and waited to be served. This was one of those sleazy places that deserves the name Greasy Spoon. But it was the only place I could find. The big guy behind the counter came over and asked me, "What do you want?" And I said I wanted a cup of coffee and a donut. He poured a cup of coffee, wiped his grimy hand on his smudged apron, and then he grabbed a donut off the shelf behind him. I really would have appreciated it if he used a pair of tongs and placed the donut on some wax paper. Now, as I sat there munching on my donut and sipping my coffee at 3:30 in the morning, the door of the diner suddenly swung open, and to my discomfort, in walked a half dozen provocative and boisterous prostitutes. It was a small place, and they sat on either side of me. Their talk was loud and crude. I felt completely out of place and was just about to make my getaway when I overheard the woman beside me say, "Hey, tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. Her so-called friend responded in a nasty tone, "So what do you want from me? A birthday party? What do you want? You want me to get you a cake and sing happy birthday?" "Come on now, why do you have to be so mean?" said the woman sitting next to me. "I was just telling you, that's all. I was just telling you it was my birthday. I don't want anything from you, like a birthday party or something. I've never had a birthday party in my whole life. Why should I have one now?" When I heard that, it hit me. I sat and waited until the women had left, and then I called the big guy behind the counter over, and I asked him, "Do they come in here every night?" "Yeah," he answered. "The one right next to me, does she come here every night?" "Yeah," he said, "that's Agnes. Yeah, she comes in here every night. What do you want to know?" "Because I heard her say that tomorrow is her birthday," I told him. "What do you say you and I do something about that? What do you think about us throwing a birthday party for her right here, tomorrow night?" A cute smile slowly crossed his chubby cheeks, and he answered, saying, "I like it. It's a great idea." Calling to his wife, who did the cooking in the back room, he shouted, "Hey, come out here. This guy's got a great idea. Tomorrow's Agnes's birthday. He wants us to go in with him and throw a birthday party for her. Right here, tomorrow night." His wife came out of the back room all bright and smiley. She said, "That's wonderful. Agnes is one of those people who is really nice and kind, but nobody does anything nice for her." "Look," I told them, "if it's okay with you, I'll get back here tomorrow morning about 2:30 and decorate the place. I'll even get a birthday cake." "No way," said Harry. That was the guy's name. "The birthday cake's my thing. I'll make the cake." At 2:30 the next morning, I was back at the diner. I picked up some crepe paper decorations at the store and had made a sign out of big pieces of cardboard that read, "Happy Birthday, Agnes." I decorated the diner from one end to the other. I had that diner looking good. The women who did the cooking must have gotten the word out on the street, because by 3:15, every prostitute in Honolulu was in the place. It was wall-to-wall prostitutes and me. At 3:30 on the dot, the door of the diner swung open. In came Agnes and her friend. Now everybody was ready when they came in, and we all screamed, "Happy birthday!" Never have I seen a person so flabbergasted, so stunned, so shaken. Her mouth fell open. Her legs seemed to buckle a bit. Her friend grabbed her arm to steady her. As she was led to sit on one of the stools along the counter, we all sang happy birthday to her. As we came to the end of our singing, her eyes moistened. But when the birthday cake with all the candles on it was carried out, she lost it and just openly cried. Harry gruffly mumbled, "Blow out the candles, Agnes. Come on, blow out the candles. If you don't blow out the candles, I'm going to have to blow out the candles." And after an endless few seconds, he did. Then he handed her a knife and told her, "Cut the cake, Agnes. Yo, Agnes, we all want some cake." Agnes looked down at the cake. Then, without taking her eyes off of it, she slowly and softly said, "Look, Harry, is it all right with you if what I want to ask you is it okay if I keep the cake a little while? I mean, is it all right if we don't eat it right away?" Harry shrugged and answered, "Sure, it's okay. If you want to keep the cake, keep the cake. Take it home if you want to." "Can I?" she asked. Then looking at me, she said, "I live just down the street a couple of doors. I want to take the cake home, okay? I'll be right back, honest." She got off the stool, picked up the cake, and carrying it like it was the Holy Grail, walked slowly toward the door. As we all just stood there, motionless, she left. When the door closed, there was a stunned silence in the place. Not knowing what else to do, I broke the silence by saying, "What do you say we pray?" Now, looking back on it now, it seems more than strange for a sociologist to be leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes in a diner in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning. But then it just felt like the right thing to do. I prayed for Agnes. I prayed for her salvation. I prayed that her life would be changed and that God would be good to her. When I finished, Harry leaned over the counter, and with a trace of hostility in his voice, he said, "Hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to?" In one of those moments, when just the right words came, I answered, "I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning." Harry waited a moment and then said, "No, you don't. There's no church like that. If there was, I'd join it. I'd join a church like that." Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all like to join a church that throws birthday parties for gals like Agnes at 3:30 in the morning? Null Park Street, what do you say? Jesus called us to be that church, you know? A church for Agnes and Uncle Phil, for the cat lady next door, for the hate monger needing a hug from love mongers like us. We are to welcome the broken, for we are all broken. We are to welcome the unstable, for if we are honest, we all struggle with stability. We welcome others to the table of grace just as we have been invited to gather around it in peace, forgiveness, joy, embrace, and birthday cakes every now and then. We do this knowing that it is a place of unity, not uniformity, and out of our devotion for and thanksgiving of God's invitation to each one of us, we must, with God's help, be a walking invitation to others. All others.